Hey, I'm Steve Young, and you're watching the Letterman Podcast. I hope you enjoy it. La, 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 la.
Welcome once again to the Letterman Podcast. My name is Mike Chisholm. Today we got Jay Ryan back, and Jay hasn't been on since, oh my gosh, it's within the first probably 10 episodes of this show. But Jay and I have been friends for a long time. Jay is the guy that named the Letterman Podcast. We actually talk about that a little bit here. His version of the events are a little bit different than mine, but we talk about, you know, he was part of the origin. The original idea was I actually pitched him and said, we should do this together. And, you know, Jay's got the late night play set and Cars and Comedy and shot over 500 episodes of that show in a four or five year span with his wife, Nicole. He's got David Letterman's desk. His former desk, the very first late show desk, and chairs. He's got David Letterman's microphone. I think we've told that story on the podcast a few times. It's been mentioned, but Jay and I haven't communicated for a while because unfortunately his wife is very sick, Nicole. And that's what Cars and Comedy was all about when they started that show. It was as she was dealing with her MS, and unfortunately, things haven't been good the last 6 months. The last time he shot a show was during the American Thanksgiving, which is in November. Canadian Thanksgiving earlier, by the way, in October, early harvest. And so that's the last time he shot a show. So it was really nice for him and I to catch up. We're shooting this on the 2 year anniversary of the Letterman Podcast, 9 years to the day since we had our night a month before David Letterman retired. I'm wearing the salmon jacket from that time because Jay said to me, he goes, I want to catch up with you and I want to do it on the show. I want to catch you up with what's been going on and much of your audience, and our audience co-mingle. So this will be a neat way to do that. He was telling me about some of the projects that the universe has given him. And open the doors that have opened, despite the fact that they are going through this staggeringly heartbreaking time. And I love Jay. He's a friend. We catch up. He tells the intern story. He was the fake intern. We've mentioned the fake intern a couple times on the show here. That was Jay. He tells that story here after we catch up for a bit. And just have fun shooting the bull, catching up. As this episode airs, I'm actually going to be down in Los Angeles, hanging out with them. So when this happens, I'm actually going to be in LA. So you can probably look at the socials for updates that I'm putting out at the same time. It's really great just to catch up with my friend, Jay Ryan. I'm super excited about it. If you want to support he and Nicole, Nicole in particular, they have a foundation. It's the autoimmunityfoundation.org. You can go there, look at the story, and, I'm endlessly inspired by both of them. And when life gets tough, they provide perspective as to what life can really look like and how you can still be grateful and still have positive attitudes or good attitudes towards things happening in life, despite really difficult challenges. And I appreciate that about him. So it's great to catch up with Jay. Lots of talk all over the place. We get to the Letterman talk a little bit later in the episode. So thank you very much for everybody who has supported us. Like, share, subscribe, all that crap. Without further ado, please welcome my friend and yours, Jay Ryan. My friend, it is so good to see you. And we're doing this live. You and I are reuniting with the red light on, which is very, very interesting. It's been so long. I love you so much. I love your wife so much. How are you, sir?
Hello, can you hear me? Is this thing on? I had to download Zoom for this. Yeah, old guy coming through.
Yeah, you got a real studio there. You're not used to this newfangled technology that's out there. You're old school.
You know, the funny thing, I thought about this earlier today as I saw that it was a Zoom link. We're sitting in the room that would have become the Zoom room over COVID, but we went another route.
You certainly
so I
did.
Never really learned the whole Zoom thing.
For those who have come on since the last time Jay was on, Jay Ryan, good friend, the founder and front man of the Late Night Playset, you are sitting at David Letterman's desk. You're sitting at the original Late Show desk. You've got the microphone there, and it's been a while since we have connected. There we go. Oh, there it is. There it is, and there it is, right there. And there's the chairs. Chris Farley falling over. I've broken your equipment. Falling over that chair, and countless other memories from those two guest chairs. There's infamy with those chairs. Lots of good stuff. So I think you're caught up. go back and watch the original episode with Jay Ryan and catch up even more. But this guy and I haven't spoken for a while. So much stuff. And I'm just really happy to see you. How are you, man?
Thanks for having me.
It's so
good. Lots been going on. A lot of life since I saw you last.
One of the things that you kind of popped your head up and said, hey, let's get together and let's do the show and let's catch up. And we're doing that right now. What are some
thanks
of the
for having that, me yeah. back. And it's rare to book yourself on a podcast, but I reached out and said, hey, because I'm doing a bunch of other stuff. It's the closest thing I've ever had to a press tour, doing a bunch of podcasts, doing a bunch of TV shows. Road and Track magazine is doing a profile. It's kind of a crazy time for us because we grew up professionally invisible. So the fact that we're getting attention for stuff that we do is very, very strange to both of us. And I wanted to, you know, you're an outlet and I wanted to tell your audience about some of those things just in case there's any crossover. But really on a personal level, I also wanted to give you personally and your audience an update on Nicole because I know a lot of people care about her. So I figured we'd be talking about that today as well. Just, I know you're a touchy feely kind of guy and I know you won't not go there.
100%. And I've had a couple of people named Rob and Irene and Rupert and all sorts of people continually up till this morning asking me about Nicole and how things are going. You know, for those who know the late night playset, you understand that the whole premise of that project was that Jay and his wife Nicole were chronicling the journey of relationship and going through MS. And we have watched over 550 some odd episodes, whatever it is, of you and Nicole dealing with that, as well as living life, being in, you know, SoCal, a former, you know, television entertainment folks, professionally invisible, but in the industry nonetheless, in the car community, Good Vibes Breakfast Club, the way that you took lemons and were trying to make lemonade as best as you possibly could, stumbling forward together. And of course, so many people wondering how Nicole is because we have watched heartbreakingly, the throes of MS affect her. And we love you both very, very much. And of course, I if it's okay to go there on camera, we're going to go there. Absolutely. But Rupert and Irene this morning, please tell Jay we love them and ask how they're doing. And among many others.
It's very strange. You know, we're going to talk about Newcomb's Ranch a little bit and what Newcomb's Ranch is because most of your audience probably doesn't know. We've been... We've been talking about it a lot lately because that's sort of the news that I have to deliver. But it's this old restaurant that closed during COVID or during, you know, shutdown, lockdown, whatever you want to call it, in 2020. And nobody knew that it was our last Friday there. We all said, see you next week. And the reason I'm bringing that up, it's fresh in my mind. The late night playset was sort of the same thing. Right around Thanksgiving, we had either Magnus or Reggie Watts or maybe both here. And we were talking about how we've got some news coming up. It's pretty exciting stuff. We're going to share it probably next week. We'll definitely be back next week. Sometime between that show and the next week, life just, you know, it's life's a roller coaster. And we didn't realize we were cresting one of these. And Nicole's health has really just been very, very poor ever since. And if you know anything about MS, it kind of only goes one direction. So it's a lot to deal with. It's a lot to handle. It's a lot emotionally. But late night playset sort of just disappeared. It sort of just stopped for a little bit. And we thought, oh, we'll just take a break while we're dealing with this. And we'll be back in a week or 2 weeks, a month. The parallels to the shutdown are so similar. It's ridiculous. Here it is. What are we in March, April? So it's 5 months later. Mm-hmm. I've sat in this studio once before today, which was to do Phil Morris's show, which was a great pleasure. Jackie Chow's from Seinfeld, for anybody who doesn't know. He's who told so you to great. Put the bomb on? So it's weird to be in here. It's weird to be talking to you. Usually you're up on that big screen over there. but I did want to come and give a little bit of an update on the playset as well, because... Nicole is not currently able to do the show we used to do. I mean, I think we all saw how that was going and the trajectory, and I don't think that that's surprising news. But we're also not ready for it to go away completely. So we have some plans for the future for how to do at least a few more shows in this space before, I wouldn't call it this show is going to become something else. I would say there'll be another show somewhere else, Newcomb's Ranch. We're going to see how it goes. But right now, while I fought it for quite a bit, right now, the layout and everything else that we're building in this space, it kind of is almost, keep in mind the building was built 100 years ago, but the space was almost built for this stuff to be configured in the proper Letterman, you know, configuration. So I've been fighting it and it's still not definite, but the likelihood of this stuff living on in another show before it gets retired is very good currently.
Good.
And a bigger, like a room in front of an audience where you would do a show, you know, with an audience where you could have reactions, you could do desk pieces, you could do live bits and taking the mic out, Phil Donahue style, stuff like that, which we intend to do. The name, that'll come live from Newcomb's Ranch. I have no idea. We'll figure it out. But in the meantime, before this whole entity moves, and I guess we're burying the lead here, we want to do a few more episodes, whether it's with people that have been with us from the beginning or people we've always wanted to get or whatever. And it can't be on the Tuesday, Thursday schedule anymore. Nicole is not able to keep a schedule. We have no idea how she's going to be, when, where, how she feels. So it'll probably be pop-ups, you know, that kind of a, what you do, special, very special episodes. And I think it'll have sort of a wind down feel because we didn't do that. You know, we just sort of left the air unintentionally. And I don't think anybody's ready to pack it in. You know what I mean? There's still a little bit left we didn't get to do in this space. And that's one of the reasons I'm here as well. If anybody can help us get Dave before we wrap this little show up, please help us, because I've done everything I can do. Dave has one guy. I've reached out to him a couple times a year for the last 5 years. Nicole knows the guy. Don't want to say his name here, but everybody on this show knows the guy. Mm-hmm. I've never gotten a response. Nicole always used to get responses from him. He is a very good, kind person from what I've seen. And it seems like this would be the type of story, Nicole's story, that would fit the bill. But, you know, I don't know. I'm asking for help because for 5 years, we've been trying to get Dave here just to have a conversation, mm-hmm. for the kid to apologize for the microphone, for all of that stuff, but also to unpack some of the stuff. And it's time, you know what I mean? Like the last time I saw him was on his front porch.
Yep. And he gave you a jacket that you still have.
Yeah, he did. Yeah. But you know what I'm saying? Like, it just seems like if there ever was a bookend to that story, mm-hmm. it would be the winding down of this little thing that we've done here.
Yeah. I don't know how much you've had a chance to see what's going on outwardly. I know that you've got your situation at home. And then also the universe has opened doors for you to keep you busy and doing things outside of that, thank goodness, to help you stay distracted and stuff. And I want to talk about some of those things. But one of the things that just recently happened, and actually at the time of this recording, we're actually dead on the 2 year anniversary of when the Letterman podcast started, the 9 year anniversary of that night when I was at the Ed Sullivan Theater. We're recording it right now. 420.
No kidding.
Yeah. The Letterman podcast, the first episode came out on 420 because it was the anniversary of that night. And as you know, you and I both, we don't believe in coincidences. There's no, absolutely. And the airing of this episode is going to be right at the time where I am preparing to go up to Good Vibes with Scout to hang out with you.
No.
And see you. That episode is airing basically while I'm driving up to the Crest to come to Good Vibes breakfast, to go to Newcomb's and hang out with you guys. That's the day that this episode is airing. So
I will say, to prove that Mike didn't plan all that out, because it seems like he would plan all that out, he's that kind of guy, I have actually had to move this date a few times because of stuff in our life. So
it just
that's crazy. Yeah.
Yeah. So, but that, all that to say, the episode that came out yesterday for our anniversary, we actually had somebody very cool booked. I'll tell you off camera who we had, and then they couldn't make it work with their schedule. So we'll have to postpone that. But the guest,
was it David Letterman?
It wasn't Letterman. But I'll tell you off camera.
It was Bill DeLace.
Oh, I would love to have Chief on. Actually, there's that more to come on that. I think Chief is coming. I think we're gonna get him. But we had the gal and her uncle who won the marquee. And we put them awesome. On for the anniversary show and they talked all about it. I don't know if you saw the video of Dave going there, but when Dave went there, he kept saying the phrase, and we talked about this in the show, whether or not if it was sarcastic or genuine, heartfelt, cheesy, or a little of both. He kept saying, "We love making people's dreams come true." He said it probably 5 times in the video Walter put up.
I think that's a giveaway joke, right?
Yes. But talking to Helen and Preston about it, they were both saying, well, yeah, you know, it was said that way. But then Barbara came up and said, you know what? He really absolutely does love making people's dreams come true. And this seems like one of those things where the reason I'm coming down to California is because I'm going to see Dave perform at the Netflix is a Joke Festival. He's going to be in LA, that kind of a thing. So if there's ever a time for a message like this, now's the time. And it's just, I would love to see you be able to have that experience, that dream come true moment. How many years in the making after you were on his porch giving him your microphone, which he used on air forever.
And it's not a dream come true for me, though. I feel like it would be a dream come true for you. For me, it's one of those universal yin and yang things. Like, look, the kid who did the stuff way back when was obsessed and he was messed up, and there's a lot of reasons for that we don't need to unpack today.
But
you know, the adult guy has worked through that stuff, and I'm a different person. I think we could have a pretty cool conversation, from racing to the history of broadcasting. I mean, like, I celebrate a lot of the things that he does. I don't know. I mean, I hope it happens. In the last letter, I mean, I explained that, I feel like I've been talking so much already, and I'm getting to the stuff. But I explained that, you know, Nicole is not long for this world, and I would love for this to happen while she's around to see it. I hate to play that card, but I waited 5 years to play it. I mean, like, we're there now, and she approved of the message. I said maybe Netflix Week in May, that would be great. But like I said, no response yet. Fingers crossed. Fingers crossed.
Absolutely. And
I'm not trying to force something by bringing it here, by the way. I'm truly just recruiting help from a lot of the people in the Letterman universe who might be able to influence.
We're catching up, and I know, of course.
I'm not trying to jam my foot in the door like I did when I was looking at a kid.
Yeah, no kidding.
It was a Saturday morning. It was a fateful Saturday morning at Letterman's house.
Let's talk about cars for a second, because that's another commonality that you have. You are obviously deeply steeped in the car community. You know, Dave's right now is selling some of his car collection, and
really,
yeah, it's Tom Young was talking about that, how some of Dave's Ferraris are going up, and interesting.
We had one burned to the ground yesterday. We had a rare one burned to the ground at Breakfast Club.
What?
With some rare 458 Competizione Speciale, some sort of special Italian something. It was yellow and it was loud. And after it left, it burned to the ground.
Wow. So everybody
I'm using my phone.
Everybody driving from the crest drives past it as they're leaving Good Vibes Breakfast? Is that what basically?
Yeah, because there's only one road in and out, as you know. And the fire department, the Forest Service, I mean, everybody was there. It was crazy.
Wow.
I have no idea what happened. I don't think the driver was doing anything. I think it was a finicky Italian thing. But let me know when Dave sells the Porsches. I want one of those.
Yeah, no kidding, right?
That's why I'm into them.
Yeah, you're how is Yellow Car doing, by the way?
Great. Amazing.
Yeah?
Yeah, we drove it 11,100 miles in a month, 30 days.
Yep.
40 of the lower 48, drove it all around the country. And it was the trip of a lifetime. And the car didn't hiccup once. Nothing. Not a wiper blade, not a flat tire, nothing.
It was.
I got one ticket and it wasn't even our fault.
There's a good story behind that ticket too. Go into the late night place at Archives and you'll find it probably within the last 6 months of the last show. And you'll see the story behind that. I still get a kick out of that thinking about it to this day.
If anybody is aware of that story, I'll just let you know that still to this day, not a single letter from the courthouse. I figured after, and I didn't contact them after we did all that. And I figured, well, I'm going to get a letter, a failure to appear, something, nothing. If they're smart, they just made that shit go away. Excuse my language.
Let's talk about some of the projects you have going on. Are we allowed to talk about the show? Like, why? Okay, why is Rodent Track doing a profile on you? How's that? Let's start with there.
Good vibes, believe it or not.
Okay.
Yeah. Good vibes. Yeah. Good Vibes Breakfast Club is something that we accidentally created after Nicole got sick. She was diagnosed in 2011. She was still working until 2015 or so. Right around 2016 is when things really kind of imploded, where it couldn't work, and then the finances are affected, and you know, like, just your whole life kind of goes through a reshuffle when you can't do what you thought you were going to keep doing.
And
we started blowing off Friday mornings as sort of a little bit of a F you to the world. Mm-hmm. And we would drive our little yellow car up the mountain, Angeles Crest, in the Angeles National Forest here in Los Angeles, which is, if you look at pictures, it looks like it's 5 hours away. But if you're driving it and you know how to go, it's only like 40 minutes away. Mm-hmm. So it's a pretty nice little escape in Los Angeles. So we were doing that for ourselves, to just get away, to escape a little bit. And that was like 2016, 2017, something like that. And we just, you know, we posted on our little Instagram, which had maybe a couple hundred followers back then. You know, it was just a personal page, again, because we were not public people.
Yep.
And then one thing led to another. And here we are seven, eight years later, whatever it is. And it's a worldwide cultural phenomenon.
Every Friday.
Yeah, we never stopped going. I think that's the consistency. Even after the restaurant closed for COVID, mm-hmm. we kept going, and we'd bring donuts and coffee and just do it in the parking lot. Again, because we thought it was temporary. I thought I was doing that for 2 weeks when the world shut down.
Yep.
And here it is, just over 4 years ago. We celebrated the 4 years like 2 weeks ago. And all right. So burying the lead here is that Newcomb's Ranch has been closed, and it's been for sale for a long time, since COVID. And there have been a few things that looked like it were going to happen that seemed like they were going to be pretty cool, and they just kind of fell through for one reason or another. It's a mountain road. It's a mile in the sky, so the road closes all the time. There's weather issues. There are all sorts of fires. I mean, all sorts of natural issues. And so it just sort of laid available, dormant. Lights off, starting to fall into disrepair because nobody was doing maintenance and, you know, taking care of the property and things like that. And one thing led to another, and we became the caretakers of Newcomb's Ranch, just because we know the owner. And I mentioned some of these things to him, and he said, you know, it's funny you mentioned that, because the insurance is going to go up because we don't have somebody there as a caretaker because we're not open and the road's closed and blah, blah, blah. Mm-hmm. So they put us on the insurance. We became the caretakers. We got the keys. Now, all of a sudden, we're spending time in Newcomb's Ranch. We're up there lighting the fire while the road's closed. We're rearranging furniture, going like, oh, what if? And people had been approaching us since the beginning. Why don't you do it? And I would say, because we don't have $5 million or whatever the price, you know, is or was. Also, growing up with the TV show Newhart, didn't want to be an innkeeper. Hi, I'm Larry. This is my brother, Daryl, my other brother, Daryl. It just didn't appeal to us, because we thought we were these Hollywood people that somehow we were going to have a miracle with the MS and we were going to get our lives back and, you know, blah, 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 blah.
Right.
Once we were rearranging the furniture and the pictures on the walls and changing things because we were allowed to, and just, you know, sort of made the space our own, we started to kind of think and like, oh, all right, well, maybe what's going on here? Maybe how could we make this work? Do we even want to make this work? Mm-hmm. And I think when we both asked ourselves the question, we both flipped the switch. And then the universe was like, I've been waiting. All of the doors open, all of the opportunities kind of come in, investors, just weird things the moment you say yes. Mm-hmm. So getting to the lead here, 26 minutes in, we are buying Newcomb's Ranch. It's a little bit of a little kind of misleading because, again, we don't have $5 million, but we are leading a charge to buy Newcomb's Ranch. We it was very, very complicated. We had to do a lot of legwork to make it possible. There was a deal in place. I skipped this part. Terrible at telling stories. You can edit this back into order later. There was a deal in place that was going to make it go away. They were going to tear it down and put up something new and modern and something very nice and awesome, but it didn't fit, and it was going to erase history and certainly what we were all attracted to. For anybody who doesn't know, this place we're talking about, Newcomb's Ranch, it's an old roadhouse up in the San Angeles National Forest. It's the only private property within the entire National Forest. And it's like 100 years old for LA. It's really, really old. And I celebrate that. I mean, I'm from New England and my dad used to drink at all those roadhouse type places, you know, from the Silvermine Tavern to Reading Roadhouse and, Longridge Tavern in Stanford. And he just liked that sort of joint. So then I grew up liking that sort of joint, and to have it go away was like, Nicole and I just felt like, could we really do this? So getting back to that part, we're leading the charge. We are buying Newcomb's. We have the contract. We're still working on the money, but we're in escrow. And that's news to people. I think they've sort of been waiting for us to rise to the occasion, to be honest. And we couldn't see it when we had the wall up. And then the moment the wall dropped, everyone's like, well.
is the plan you're going to live there?
Yeah. Well, yeah. I mean, it's a race against time right now to get up there while Nicole's here. But she feels better up there. She literally, her body feels better up there. There is no Wi-Fi. There is no cell reception. She believes that these are contributors to her MS. Yeah. And I'm not in a position to disagree with her. I see the difference as well. And if she's got a hypothesis, I'm willing to back it based on what I've seen. So the goal is to get her up there as soon as possible, us up there as soon as possible. And we're working on the place in the meantime as well. Like throughout all of this, one of the stipulations in the, you know, paperwork was that this is a done deal from owner to seller. Like, we're going to figure out how this gets done, but we need to work on it in the meantime because we're not rich. We can't sit on it for 6 months while we get it ready to open. Yep. We need to like be ready to open in a month. So that's the goal. So that's news around Los Angeles. Mm-hmm. And it seems like, you know, the Ryans, with all the things that we do, which is strangely everything and nothing at once. If you look like, what do they do anymore? I don't know. They don't do anything. She's fucking sick and he doesn't host this talk show anymore. What do they do? I take care of her. The Ryans, Good Vibes, and Newcomb's Ranch as a trifecta seem to be a pretty sturdy tripod that now everybody wants to get involved in. The universal consensus is we were the right people for it. And even the old building seems to feel the appreciation. I'm getting really heady here, but you know, if you feel the energy in a space or whatever, it has shifted dramatically in the 6 months that we've been working on it.
Yeah, well, so I've been to Good Vibes Breakfast Club once, and for those who aren't in the car community, these car meetups, and you know, maybe if you're not in the car community, but you like cars, and every once in a while you drive by somewhere and you see a meetup happening, you see a bunch of Mustangs or a bunch of Corvettes or a bunch of pre 1957 cars that all get together in clubs, whatever that looks like. We've got one in Kelowna where I'm from that happens every Wednesday night down at the parking lot of an old movie theater where all of these a plethora of all these cars just get together and car enthusiasts, and you go down for a show and shine. Or look, you've been doing this weekly up at Newcomb's, where people get out of town and you get, I don't even know.
On a Friday morning.
On a Friday morning. And every Friday morning, you come up there with the donuts and you get everybody from just folks who are car enthusiasts all the way up to Jay Leno has been there multiple times. Reggie Watts, some of these different folks in all walks of life, who just love cars and they love celebrating their cars. It's so crazy to me. And it is a different energy. I've been there once. It is a crazy cool energy. I cannot wait to bring my Bronco up there. My Bronco Scout. I cannot wait to bring her up. As far as I'm concerned,
Bronco it's a Scout. Every time I hear that statement, it's hilarious to me.
It's yeah. Well, her name is Scout and I love her. She's very, very, very well customized. I sent a picture of her to Spike Ferrison not too long ago. And he's like, that is a very handsome truck. I appreciated him saying that because he's in the car community as well. I can't wait to bring her up there for this to experience this energy. Now it's
now great. if it just for your just so people don't get the wrong idea.
Yeah,
it's not what you're painting the picture of. It's not a regular car show where people come up. Most of the people that go to Good Vibes aren't people who go to car shows, and that's interesting too. Yes. Not everybody, obviously. Some people certainly do. But
the circuit,
yeah. The most part, the people who are going up are the people who don't typically go to a car show and pop the hood and kick the tires. So sometimes you see more interesting cars because of that, because they're not out all the time. But for me, it's more the people. It became accidentally, but we like it. It's become sort of an artist's colony of sorts. It seems to be a concentration of creative people. Artists, musicians, actors, you know, content creators of all kinds these days. Painters. I mean, really, it seems to be a lot of creative people that have the schedule where they can take off on a Friday morning, you know. Yep.
Photographers, videographers. Yeah, that's why you got so much good footage up there, is because you got a lot of these creatives who are into that.
It's also beautiful. It stimulates the things in the it rejuvenates the juices that creatives need that get depleted and deplenished down there at sea level with all of the people.
Yes.
And I know that sounds so exclusive. I don't mean it that way. It's just, it's people's minds work in different ways.
Oh yeah. No. There's an energetic thing. And what strikes me as beautiful about this is Nicole is getting to a place where you can't bring her to Breakfast Club, but now you're creating a scenario and the universe is giving you a scenario where Good Vibes Breakfast can come to you. And that is that is a really, really beautiful idea. Because
it's interesting.
No, go.
No, it's interesting. You bring that out. That's the only thing we do now. I mean, we're at the stage where like we're on palliative hospice care. I mean, she's on pain medication because her existence is not cool at all. Not fun, not fair. So the one thing that we do every single week is Breakfast Club. And it's not just because it's good for her and rejuvenating, but it's also because all of the people there know her, love her, and quite frankly, know how fragile she is. They know how to treat her. Until we recently started posting some atrocious, heartbreaking videos on Instagram that every time I post, I lose like 100 followers, and I don't care because it's our real life. Of Nicole's real struggles of what our life is really like, not the Instagram, you know, shing. Mm-hmm. They don't realize. So if we went to a regular car show or another thing somewhere else or whatever, people are so happy and excited to see her that their energy overflows and it's all good. Yeah. But unfortunately, it just depletes her and she can't restore like the rest of us can. Yeah. Like it depletes her and it's gone.
Heartbreaking to hear that. But at the end of the day, vulnerability.
What a bummer of an episode.
But the vulnerability, the vulnerability you show and have shown, and the vulnerability you both have shown, it's a light in the darkness. And I'm not saying, it's an encouraging light, but it's a real life light. And there's a lot of people who are suffering in silence from this stuff, whether it's a loved one than themselves, the uncertainty of things. And part of the thing that I think that you and Nicole do, and you were doing it certainly twice a week, live at 5, when you were doing, the late night playset show, is you were humanizing some of these things that many times people, like you were giving it, an awareness, but also a realism that helped make things a little more comfortable because you were brave enough to talk about things. And you know, it's the example that you guys have shown going through the situation. There's nothing about this that doesn't suck, but you have done your very best to make it not suck as much as humanly possible. And then for other people who it's sucking for, to be a relation and a tether for them. And that's one thing that I have loved and appreciated, like, about you two from the very moment I met you, is that you are still busting your ass trying to make the world a better place, as best you can from the point of view that you have. So I appreciate both of you. If somebody wants to reach out and support Nicole, you've developed a foundation out of it. You know, you've tried to figure out ways to make this better. If somebody wants to support Nicole, I know there's a GoFundMe out there. I know there's the Autoimmunity Foundation. What's the best way to connect with you, Jay?
Gosh, Autoimmunity Foundation, or the Instagram, the link for her GoFundMe is there too. All of those things help us directly. They really do. You know, we've got grand designs for the foundation, but also, as we started it, part of her deal was, all right, I'm going to go back to Western medicine and you can poke and prod me and you can test me and I'll do all your stuff. Tell me what to do. And, you know, historically, every time we've gone that route, her decline speeds up a little bit, or a lot. And that's where we are now. We're trying everything, doing all the things we're supposed to do, and it just really wears her out. And so these things help us directly. We've got grand designs for what the foundation will be someday, when we have, or I have, more time to, you know, give it attention. But either way, it still helps us, allows us to do these things. And I really appreciate you saying that you find that they could be beneficial to other people, because there has to be some good out of this. I mean, I feel like she and I are growing to be better people through it because of all the struggle. But that's not enough. I mean, to me, that's not enough. This is not worth it just to make the two of us enlightened. Like, we have to move that needle in the world.
Creating opportunities for people to relate and examine their own awareness of where things are at. I mean, my wife and I just went through a massive, massive, massive setback on a business standpoint. And you and I can talk about that off camera, but it was, and everything's going to be fine. It'll be all right. But we went to a place thinking that certain things were going to happen. And then the rug got pulled out at the 11th hour.
It's when it happens.
Yeah. And I mean, you know, my wife's building, you know, a men's mental wellness platform, but more than that. So he changed it. If you go to wechangeit.com, you can see what Candy's building. But anyway, so we go there and we think that a certain thing's going to happen. Day one, day two, looks like things are going to happen. Then day three, a deal breaker appears. And my wife had to stand up and kind of walk away from it. And we were
in good for her.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Like,
that's a CEO amazing. Right there.
That's a CEO.
You got to be willing right to say no. The right thing, the right thing is out there.
And say no with your goals and dreams sitting in front of you. And all you have to do is just say yes. And they're right there.
Like, selling your soul, you do it that way.
That's bang on. Now, in doing so, however, it tripped up all of the tripwires of just absolute the depths of despair. And one of the things that we looked at was, for perspective, what you guys are going through, and the awareness of when you throw out there your reality, pretty quickly, if you get introspective at all, everything that is actually important to you will become crystal, crystal clear. And it seems to me you both saw that back when, because if you watch the original episodes of Late Night Playset, and as you guys were stumbling forward, trying to figure out what it's like to do a podcast together and what it's going to be. And you really, the topics of it probably could have been three or four different podcasts. You could have done a car one. You could have done an entertainment one. You could have done a relationship one. But you kind of mashed it all into who you were. It was looking back at some of those old episodes, watching you and Nicole, it's amazing how you seem to have that perspective of awareness and gratefulness of where you are right now. And because of that, it makes, when Candy and I go through a major thing, we think of you two and it's like, okay, hold on a second. What's really important here in life? And you guys have been a beacon for that. And I just appreciate it so much, Jay. And not just because of your friendship and whatnot, but just for what you guys stand for.
You're welcome. What do you say to that? I don't know. We don't feel that special. We feel like we're just making lemonade here in public is all.
Yeah. Well, in the Roden Track profile, is it done yet? Is that out? When is?
No. They just did the photography for it last week. I'm doing my interview for the piece next week.
Yeah.
It's a summer article. I know that. So I think Roden Track is quarterly with the print magazine now.
Yep.
Used to be monthly when I was a kid.
Yeah.
It might be, maybe it's by, I don't know, whatever it is. I would say in a month or two, probably.
Okay. Well, that's excellent. And I hope you have the opportunity to talk about, I mean, you're obviously good vibes. It all spawns from, so I hope you have the opportunity to talk about it there.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, and Newcombs, I mean, we did part of the interview inside, which is great. And the TV show yesterday, Nicole did an interview for a TV show inside yesterday.
Yep.
We're trying to incorporate as much of this stuff as possible in the ranch so that people can see that, oh, we're, you know, it's being worked on. The Roden Track, we're doing the Smoke and Tire podcast again, which I haven't done that in a while since I built his studio. He came here as a guest. Matt Farah came here as a guest. Said, oh, dude. He goes, I want that. I'm building a building and I want a new studio. And so I built him a studio. So we're going to do that. Just did a new show for Galpin Autosports, if you know what that is, and Porsche Santa Clarita. Galpin, you might know because of your Ford. They do custom Broncos as well. And Magnus Walker's OPP,
yep.
Just did Magnus Walker's OPP show, Other People's Porsches. That comes out this week, Tuesday, I think. Is Tuesday the 23rd? Whatever the 23rd is.
Yeah, I think that is Tuesday. Yep.
And boy, there's more than just that. I can't remember. It's just a lot all at once. And it seems like I'm saying the same thing over and over and over again because it's all kind of... People hit on different parts of it, but it's all kind of the same story.
Sure. Are you aware of anything that's been going on in the world of late night?
Yeah.
Did you see Conan return to the Tonight Show?
I did. Yeah, I did. I saw clips of it on YouTube the next day. And I thought it was great. It was very cool. It was weird for me to see him there because that's where we used to be together. And the last time I was there, it wasn't the Tonight Show yet. It was Late Night with Jimmy Fallon. It was still Jimmy Fallon, but it was Late Night. And some of the guys I still worked with, or I worked with at Conan, were still there.
Yep.
Joey Abig, shout out to Joey Abig. Glenn Arbor, I think, had just retired. Yeah, it was really neat hearing Conan talk about the hallway and going across the hallway to Kelly Clarkson and be like, this is my studio. I know what he... I feel the exact same way when I walked in there and it was Dr. Oz, you know, 10 years ago or whatever.
Yep.
Yeah. I there would be no reason for Conan not to go back. I mean, anybody who was there at the day is gone now. You know, I think that was, I don't want to say names, but the executives are all long gone.
Yes. And then also like I love the as you know, I love when there's symmetry and things like that. I'm a guy who is fascinated by the history of this stuff, and the history is being written every single day, you know, and people will be talking about certain moments 5 to 10 years from now, you know, when Jon Stewart came back to the Daily Show.
Excited about that.
Oh, it's been fun.
The Daily Show, but I love having him back there in that seat.
And I think there's a lot of people who have the exact same sentiment. We're talking to Bill Carter about that very recently, and it's back to appointment television. Late Night is one of the only places in TV that is still appointment television. You got sports, of course, that happen live, but if you look at the resurgence, I don't know if you've seen LateNighter.com yet, but there's places now where they're actually, you know, recounting and gathering the events of what happened at late night on the late night genre the night before. And some of these moments where you have the successor to David Letterman talking to the successor of David Letterman in that franchise, they're coming back together and having a conversation seeing Conan and Jimmy talk about
I still don't get it. Because the late night, I see. Okay. Yeah. Yep. I get you. Sure.
These are the two next stewards of late night, right?
But I don't think you can say that. Jimmy Fallon isn't a successor to David Letterman in any way, shape, or form. He's a successor to Conan O'Brien.
It links from there. Like I'm saying, there's David.
I got you.
Three hosts are Letterman, O'Brien, and Fallon.
Totally. Right? I'm sorry. I got you.
Yeah. So it's neat. That symmetry is really cool. Also, did you we should get you on Hot Ones. I don't know. Did you see Conan on Hot Ones? That was a very neat episode where he eat all the hot sauce.
I don't really like spicy anything. I mean, I do the mild sauce on if I have Taco Bell.
It's worth the watch because Conan, we just actually had Scott Ryan, author of the of Last Days of Letterman, on, and he thinks that Conan ruined the show entirely. You can't do another show because Conan went as deep as you can possibly go and did stuff that nobody else has ever done. And in the name of the joke, I mean, he took the bit right to the very, very end with the hottest of the hot sauces. One of the things that he talked about was how when he was a writer on Saturday Night Live, that he would sneak down into Letterman's studio at the desk and he would write Saturday Night Live sketches. And he told a very cool story about that. And again, I love the heart that some of these people that we admire so much and you've worked with.
That's amazing. So late at night when everyone's going crazy up on the Saturday Night Live floors, yep, he would go down to six and sit at the desk in 6A where it's quiet
and write.
And he would write there. What the hell? That's awesome.
Isn't that a cool story?
Yeah. I mean, I used to, when everybody would go to lunch or whatever, sometimes I'd just grab a chicken sandwich from the commissary and I'd just come back to the studio and I'd sit in the audience and I'd just draw because it was quiet in the studio.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I love that. I love the people who have I don't know what it is. It can feel the energy of the place. And I dig that.
Yeah. I would say it's less bizarre that he ended up getting that chair.
Yeah.
Because he sort of did it already.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? He knew what it felt like to sit there.
Isn't that neat?
It's wild.
Delighted me to no end. And he was doing that while having hot sauces that any normal human that did not want to go to the end of the bit without breaking would certainly be broken. My comment after that was look out for Conan's new podcast, Conan O'Brien Needs a Bowel, because I just can't believe what he did on Hot Ones. It was a crazy, crazy thing that he did in the name of the joke. And very, very cool stuff. His new travel show is incredible as well. We haven't talked in a long time. Did you see when Letterman came back to Colbert?
Again, I think I saw a clip on YouTube.
Yeah. Interesting the way that to compare and contrast the two, you know, Colbert devoted.
I saw one clip where Stephen loves to point out two things, the elevator thing about how Dave told him about the elevator. And then also how he moved the home base to the other side of the stage because Dave said he always wanted to. I remember in the interview, Dave was like, who cares where it is? I said that. Who gives a shit?
Yep.
Put it wherever you want. It's your theater.
Well, it's funny.
We changed everything else around here. Who gives a shit?
You know, it's funny. We had one of the questions I want to ask Dave if ever the opportunity arises itself is there was a quote that he had. We had Anne Marie Snyder, Tom's daughter, on.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah. And we showed some old clips of Dave and Tom talking. I think it was during the morning show. It was during the morning show. And
did he have Tom on the morning show or?
No, it was on the Tomorrow Show. I think it was the Tomorrow Show talking about the morning show.
Oh, I remember this. Those were the drinking days. Dave's drinking in that interview, right?
Maybe.
Not drinking, but I think he's been drinking in that interview. It's a different Dave. I love that clip.
Well, and one of the things that as they're talking that Dave says is that nothing on television is sacred. Mm-hmm. And I want to know, one of the things I want to know from him is if he still feels that way, but he certainly does in the reference that you just said, because, you know, Stephen was saying, well, one of the things that we did is we changed it around. You had told me that you wished that the band was on the other side because it would have been like Johnny and it would have made sense to do that. And like you said, Dave just kind of dismissed it because nothing in television is sacred. And all these years later, there's an example of it right there.
Yeah, I would say all you have to do is look at the changeover between Letterman and Colbert and show how nothing is sacred. I mean, the visuals we all got of them sawzalling the bridges apart and throwing them into dumpsters and all of Midtown Manhattan scammering to get a theater seat and whatever.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, I don't know. But then you look at the other side of things, right? And then you look at the James Commissars who preserved sets and props and wardrobe and all these things for decades, mm-hmm, because they did mean something to him. Mm-hmm. So I don't know. Maybe it's the audience. Maybe it depends on the audience.
Well, and yeah, it does. And it's funny for folks like yourself. I mean, we've mentioned her many times on this show because of my friendship with you. Like, again, I'll go back. Hey, everybody, you want to know the original pitch for the Letterman podcast? You want to know who named the Letterman podcast? It was Jay.
That's not true. You named it. I didn't really. You said, I want to do this, blah, 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 blah. And I said, you said like the Carson podcast. And I said, oh, okay, so you're going to do the Letterman podcast. But do you really want to talk about this?
Well, I remember that conversation differently because I said, would you like to co-host this thing? Like, we should, a Letterman podcast should start. And you said, I'm not that guy anymore. Maybe 5 years ago, I could have been that guy, but I'm not that guy anymore. I've moved on. But Malkoff's
not from being a podcast, fan of Dave, but from doing what you do. I could never do the show that you do. Well, I couldn't do it.
And in fairness, it would have been a different show probably, but that's okay. It's all part of evolution. But I remember you saying Malkoff's ending the Carson podcast. I think you should start the Letterman podcast. You were very direct about it. And I was like, whoa. And then there was a conversation after that where I asked Shecky, I said, do you think it'd be okay if I called it that? And Shecky was like, it's fine. And that's what Shecky said. And I'm like, all right, well, all right. But you named it. But the original pitch was.
See, that's hilarious because I don't want responsibility for this because I don't like it.
But I got Shecky's permission for it. And some people don't realize that. So after you.
But Shecky isn't.
There,
but Shecky is. Shecky's last name isn't Letterman. Do you see the difference?
That's true. Yeah, no, you're right. But I said, what do you think?
There's a reason we danced around, you know, what to call our stuff as well. And I never, either myself and talking to other people, I never felt comfortable trading on Dave's name because I never got officially affiliated. Like I always wanted to. I wanted to work there. I wanted to be a Shecky or a whatever the fuck. Yeah. I wanted to be one of the guys who was on air being made fun of, you know, a cameraman or something. But you know, it just never worked out. So, I didn't feel comfortable doing any of that. I mean, we could have leaned into that more for this with everything we have here, but
absolutely.
I don't know. I mean, I don't think you're doing anything wrong, but when you told me that conversation with Barbara Gaines, I was like, well, she's telling you that she doesn't like it.
Yeah.
Cause she said she would be a guest. Can I say this stuff?
Yeah, sure. Go ahead.
She said she would be a guest if you were willing to change the name of the podcast. And you said for one episode, she goes, no. Like, change the name of your podcast.
And this is like 100 episodes, almost 100 episodes in, by the way.
Yeah, yeah,
that this conversation happened.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. It was probably a year into the show, at least. But I remembered that, and I go, well, buddy, that's as high up as you can get before going to Dave. And she's telling you what she'd like, but she also said, well, I'm not speaking for everybody.
Yeah.
So I don't know. Who knows? I was like, well, if anybody from Official Pants ever gave me any kind of nudge in a direction, I would take it just because I was going down that path.
Yeah.
I think you're doing your own thing and you're obviously fine. But when I saw the new logo, I go, wow, he's doubling down. He's really doubling down. I mean, what the hell is he doing?
Well, now that's that. Okay. So
it's beautiful, by the way.
Thank you. I appreciate that. And it's not you know what? I'm going to shout Kyle Slingo out. Kyle has been, he was an early adopter of our show and has, you know, this with Carson Comedy. I love that. And I know that you know this feeling when there are people out there who see what you're doing, they have skill sets and enthusiasm that you don't necessarily have. And they contribute in ways. So
sometimes totally unsolicited, sometimes just stuff pops up in your inbox.
All unsolicited.
Hey, I did this art for you.
Exactly. That is the new logo is that. You know, as the marquee is being brought over to Helen Halford's house, suddenly, you know, and the video gets out there that Letterman's delivering the marquee, in my inbox about 45 minutes later, I have the exact same image, except it's the marquee for the Letterman podcast being delivered to the house and not like he is just, and not just him, but there's been a whole bunch of people who have sent me stuff and done stuff. Warren Zevon's, historian who has become a good friend of mine. You know, he has sent me all sorts of stuff and helped and the community over this last 2 years has been astounding to me. And so, yeah, some of these things that you see pop out there, none of them are my creation. They're the creation of folks who enjoy our show. And
I love that.
And that, yeah, well, yeah. Community is everything. Like you said at the beginning, I'm a touchy-feely guy. I don't think you have told, and forgive me, if you don't want to tell the story, I'll tell it later. I'll tell it the intro, the outro, whatever. I'm happy to do it. Are you open to telling the story about you being the fake intern?
Sure. Because, I mean, there's not much to it. There's not much to it. It was only for like a couple weeks.
You were an intern in the Ed Sullivan Theater for a couple weeks and nobody knew it.
Well, everybody knew it.
but it was unofficial. You snuck your way
here's on. The backstory is that I couldn't get an internship to save my life. My aunt knew Paul Schaefer, and I don't know if I didn't go to college was the issue. Every time I'd get the letter back, like, well, you need to be in an accredited institution for us to give you college credit because nobody gets paid. And I'm sure it was like a legal thing or whatever.
Yep.
But I always got the form letter, and it didn't seem to matter that, like, I was working in television junior year and I was working at 30 Rock senior year. Like, nobody seemed to give a shit. And that really, it didn't make sense to me. But keep in mind, none of my weird Letterman things that have happened in my life, the microphone or this intern thing, like, none of them were planned out.
Exactly.
It's premeditated. None of them are premeditated. I was in the Hello Deli getting a sandwich. And I had my Late Show jacket on that Dave had given me. And I just remember Rupert, and there were other people in there with jackets on and stuff too, but I didn't know who they were.
Yeah.
Except they weren't anybody like that I would recognize from the show. And so this is after Dave gave me the jacket. So it would have been 96, 97, 97, something like that. And Rupert,
you are working for Conan or you're not working for Conan at this time? This is before Conan, right?
I don't remember. It's all okay. That was all the same kind of time, but my dad died in 96. So there was again this gap of awful stuff.
Yeah.
I graduated in 95. He died in 96. Yeah. I mean, I don't know. I don't know.
Okay.
Somewhere in and around there. It was 96 or 97. But I was in the deli and with all these other people, and Rupert says, "Hi, are you the new intern?" So I, and all of the other people went, "Whoa." So I just said, "Yes, I'm the new intern." In the same way that Dave would have in a bit, you know what I mean? Like, "Yes, that's right. I'm the new whatever." And it was like, I didn't think anything would happen of it. I was just like, I just said yes. And I thought like, well, that'll be it. And I'll get my sandwich and I'll go sit on the curb because, you know, the crew's out there eating their lunch or whatever. And one thing led to another, and everybody else, it turns out, was an intern, and they were getting their lunches from the deli, and they were all going back upstairs. So I accidentally, it was like Pee Wee Herman getting into Warner Brothers with Milton Berle and the joke, you know, in the Pee Wee's Big Adventure. I just accidentally got into this group, and I'm wearing the jacket, and so then we all went upstairs together. They're like, "Well, were you going upstairs?" "Oh, absolutely. Oh, of course I am. Yeah, here we go. Going up into the Ed Sullivan Theater building for the first time." And that's how it started. But like, because I was with the group, I just like, I met the security guard Willis. And then the guy at the, you know, reception, when you get off the elevator, like it was very, very strange. And I spent the rest of the day, and I came back the next day and I came back the next day, came back the next day and I came back the next week. And I think it was only 2 weeks. It might have been 3 weeks, but I think it was probably only 2 weeks or like two and a half, maybe something like that.
Yep.
And at one point we were going downstairs. I think it was a night when there was two shows. You remember when they used to do two shows?
Yep.
I don't know if they did that to the end or not.
Yep.
But there used to be like a pizza party in between, and we set up for the pizza party. And I can't remember how, but whatever it was, we were all going downstairs again and passing Willis the security guard. And he goes, "Oh, Jay knows me by name now," because I walk past him every day. He goes, "Oh, so-and-so was asking about you. They want to meet with you or whatever." And I said, "Oh, okay, yeah, I'll be right back up." And I got so scared that I didn't go back up. I think it was the leader of the intern program.
Janice.
I think probably word. Yeah, I think it was. I think it was her. And I think that she had probably gotten word and was going to kick me out or whatever, you know what I mean? So I think I just cut bait myself and I just didn't go back. But I'll never forget going out there, and I was so scared. And I remember walking to my car, which I parked on 53rd Street with my. I really broke all the rules back then. I had the New York City Mayor's Office film permit thing that I would hang on the. Because I used to work commercials all over the city, and the mayor's office for the film commission was in the Ed Sullivan Theater office building. So instead of paying 30 or 40 bucks to park, I just parked my car on the street.
Was the M3 at the time?
No, in 97, it would have been the 944 Turbo. Yeah, it was the 944 Turbo for sure. Oh, of course, it was the 944 Turbo. Yeah. So, you know what I mean? It looked like probably one of Letterman's colors. No, nobody knowed or cared. But I was so nervous. I remember walking back to the car, and it was like, it felt like the night I took the microphone, except it was the opposite because everybody was there.
Yep.
I was alone that night. I got locked in the theater, but this time was like fully populated. But the walk of shame was the same. It was like with the tail between the legs. I'm like, oh, geez. And it was, by the way, both of the problems in both of those stories as the adult now is fear. I was afraid to like tell the truth or come clean or whatever with my bad decision. Although the intern thing, I don't think it's a bad decision. I didn't do anything wrong. I mean, no. If anything, I worked for them for free.
Absolutely. You served the show. You made copies.
I didn't make many copies, but I was always around different places, like in the theater. I was always doing production stuff. And I think that's what I knew how to do.
Yeah.
And I think that's what probably tipped them off. Cause like I spent the day with Miles, the spotlight operator, you know what I mean? And I think at some point, somebody probably said something and I didn't know we were doing production interns now or something like that. Because everybody else was like in the ticket office or like you said, making copies or in the writer's room or something like that. I think you would have had to have been a union apprentice to be down in the theater like I was, which is what I was doing over at NBC. I don't know. I'm not proud of any of that stuff.
No, but all these years later,
it's crazy memories.
It's a great story. Like that is a fantastic story. And there's a whole legion of people. Well, it's a dozen or so people who like the show who would give anything to trade places and to have that story in their memory banks. It is a really cool story.
I think it was like 2.5 weeks. Cause I know it was longer. It was longer than it should have been. Like I thought the jig would be up on the second day.
Yeah. Of course,
and then
it
just turned out like by the end of week two, I go, I work here now. I started telling my friends, like, I work at Letterman. I'm interning at Letterman. I'm like, it was crazy because I was doing the job, you know?
Oh, did you have a name tag?
God. Yes, of course I did. Because I was friends with only interns. Guess who made the name tags? The interns.
Thank you for telling that story. It delights me to no end every time you tell it because you've never actually told me the story that with that end part. That you had the walk of shame like that there. Oh, it hits me in the heart. I didn't know.
I'm not proud of any of it.
End it. Yeah.
I probably cut a lot of this stuff out over time. I mean, these stories have been whitewashed. The microphone thing is atrocious. That's so like unforgivable. Yet at the same time, I go, he was a kid. I get it.
Well, and just the way that it ended, like it ended with you getting a jacket, him taking your microphone, using it on set. And it's one of those things. Does crime actually pay? Like it was just, it's just crazy how
at a time when the floor had just dropped out on my life anyway, with my dad and my family and all that stuff. So I was already kind of messed up.
Yeah.
It's crazy.
It's a very fun story though. I think it's lore that's how I look at it as somebody who loves this stuff and loves looking at all the little behind the scenes stories and all the little, the nooks and crannies. Right. I had a television historian on a couple weeks back and she was like, your show goes really deep. Like, and she's telling me this and she's a television historian. Like, but those little nooks and crannies to me are just really charming. And to me, that's the lore of the show is little things like that. And it's fun to uncover stories. There's all sorts of them from people who worked there, people who didn't work there. people who just these touches with the show is what, in my opinion, made it so special is this kind of stuff. And you said it yourself, Dave kind of bred that in a generation of people. There's an impishness that I have that exists because of that show. There's a lot of mischief, playful mischief that exists, I think, because of that show. And to me, that's just an example of it.
Yeah. The world was pretty buttoned up when Dave came around. So the fact that he unzipped all their buttons.
Yeah. That's a great way of putting it. It feels so good to be in your presence. And you know what? Saying that, meta, I love that, because as I'm saying this and as it hits the internet waves, I'm actually going to be in your presence. I am so excited to come and see you in a couple weeks. I'm so excited.
So we're recording this on 420. When does it air?
510.
510, okay.
510.
So yeah, you'll be here. And then when are you seeing the show, the Letterman show? And what is Dave doing? Is he doing what is it?
It's called The Gods of Comedy. So the last time I came down there and saw you and Nicole and went to Good Vibes was when Dave, the Netflix is a Joke Comedy Festival was happening. And Dave, of course, is a Netflix guy at this point. And he shot a show called That's My Time with David Letterman.
That's right. Yeah.
Three comics panel, very similar to the concept of your live version of Cars and Comedy, or Late Night Playset. And Brian Simpson, one of those, Brian Simpson is blowing up and has blown up, kind of since then, even. That was one of the comics that Dave featured. You know, Brian came out and did 10 minutes of stand-up, then went and did panel with Dave. There you go. You got a show. So when I went and saw him, he did that two or three nights in a row. We saw him on the third night. Brian was actually one of the guys I saw, but he did that. And so that was I believe it was a 6-episode arc on Netflix. That's My Time with David Letterman. I assume that is happening again at this year's incarnation of the Netflix is a Joke Comedy Festival, but the show itself is called The Gods of Comedy with David Letterman.
So instead of up and comers, it's going to be the Chris Rocks and Kevin Harts and stuff like that.
It feels or
Steve,
like
Steve,
that.
Steve Martin's, maybe something like that. Yeah. Okay.
It feels
awesome. That's
like
incredible.
That. Yes. Originally our trip was going to be Candy and I coming down and having a nice road trip and all this sort of stuff out of it. And then the bottom kind of dropped out of where we are. And so I have to do it I might be sleeping in my car the whole time in Scout the whole time. I'm not sure. I just know that I have to get there and see it. I'm seeing him on the 8th. So that's the last night of
and thank you for the invite very, very much. I appreciate it.
You're my first call. It's still up for grabs if at this point if you want it.
I may fake work for Netflix for the week instead. I'm going to go intern. What theater is Dave doing his show at?
I forget the name of it. I'll get it to you afterwards. It's not the Fonda this time, though. It's something bigger. It's got a bunch of sections to it, orchestra sections and all that. But I forget the name of it. But I'll pick your brain about it to see if there's a parking lot near there that I should sleep in. I'm going down.
You're hilarious.
It's going to be a lot of fun. I'm excited, but to drive Scout, 2,000 or 3,000 miles round trip. And
road trip
and come down there. Yeah. And it's going to be a solitude road trip. It's going to be a lot of fun to do that. A good time for some meditation, self-reflection, all of that stuff. And I'm very excited, but
I've been thinking about doing that myself. That's weird that you say all of those things. Cause that's going to happen in the future for me at some point.
Yeah. Was not the intention. The intention was that we were going to come back from our trip and have these constraints that we've been under as Candy's been building her startup for the last 5 years lessened, and we were going to make it a victory trip where she and I came down, but don't worry, I'll be bringing my love from her to you and Nicole when I see you, and as this is airing, I'm going to be hanging out with you guys up there. I'm just of course I want to see Dave, and I'm excited to see Dave and all of that stuff, but a very, very, very close second for highlights of this thing that I'm is seeing you guys and being up at
Late Night Playset.
Good Vibes with Scout with you is seeing you guys. I'm so excited to see you guys and to give you both hugs and just.
And I can give you a tour of the interior of Newcomb's Ranch. You've never seen the inside.
I desperately want that very, very, very badly. And by the way, when we were in France, I sent you the picture. I made sure to wear this is a Good Vibes T-shirt, and I don't know if
that's very thoughtful.
I brought it intentionally because I wanted a picture of this in front of the Eiffel Tower for you. Literally packed it for that very, very reason, and was delighted when it actually happened. Are you still selling shirts and stickers and all that? If people want to support,
yeah,
what are the things to look at?
It's my friend David has a side hustle company. He sells copiers and IT stuff for a living, but he his side hustle is a company called DuelShift, DuelShift, and they make very high quality apparel. They currently make the Good Vibe shirts, which I don't have, but the 111 shirt that you're wearing, there's some other stuff as well, hats and stickers and all that stuff. More to come on all of that, because as Newcomb's Ranch becomes ours and we move in, there is an area that used to be a motorcycle showroom that will now be a ACH General Store, Angeles Crest Highway General Store, and a merch store for everything. Newcomb's Ranch, Highway 2, Good Vibes, Porsche Life, 111, all this stuff, as well as probably some of our cast of characters whom you know. I think this thing might end up being like a Planet Hollywood. You know, we're getting a lot of the money from one place, but the rest is all going to be from this kind of a lot of famous people that everybody knows. So the likelihood of having some other people's merch in there would be good too. So right now it's DuelShift.com or the Good Vibes Breakfast Club. Instagram has the whatever the link in it if you want to buy a shirt or stickers or something. Sorry, long way to answer that. No, this Red Bull's working though, isn't that great? I needed it this morning.
Well, yeah. Well, you probably need it more days than not. I mean, I can only imagine what it takes for you to keep the spark going.
I'm fueled by coffee and Red Bull these days, and I know that it is not healthy, and I know it's not good for me, and it's not a permanent thing. I won't be this way forever. But right now, it's been my gasoline. I stayed up a little bit late last night so that I could sleep in today.
Yep.
7:30. Slept in until 7:30, which was awesome. It was awesome.
Yep.
So, like, you know, 6 hours of sleep is sleeping in. In the old days, that would be like, oh, I didn't get enough.
Yeah. You're a
now
caregiver.
I feel great.
You're a caregiver and all these things, but you're also as enthusiastic as many of us are about the things that you love so much. You're, you know, a prop maker. I don't know how many Ghostbusters proton packs you've made, things like that. The Ecto-1. You've got the Ghostbusters car, the DeLorean, that sort of thing. A new Ghostbusters movie has hit the theater. You haven't seen it yet.
I haven't seen it yet. I pre-ordered it. When it hits iTunes, we'll have it here at the house.
But that right there shows where your priorities are. They're in the right spot. And normally, you know, 10 years ago, whatever it is, a Ghostbusters movie comes out, you know, here. That's like, it's almost like religion type stuff. But yet at the same time now, you know, the priorities, what should be priorities in life are, you know, are paramount for you. And I just appreciate that about you.
I appreciate you painting that light and making me to sound like such a good guy. But the truth is that was never my jam. I've never been the fan of things like you are.
Yes.
I like things that I want to, like, I'm a creator by, like, I fancy myself an artist, whether the world agrees with me or not. So, like, I'll just see things that I align with, and then I'll try to, you know, go in that direction, be it Dave or whatever.
Yeah.
The time machine always spoke to me. The car, the Ghostbusters car always spoke to me. So, like, making those props, you know, for the promotional stuff for the movies and the franchises was great and fun and fulfilling in a lot of ways. But I'm still not the fan that you think I am.
No, and I know that. We've talked about that, and I do understand that. But at the same time, here's a bunch of new Ghostbusters props or whatever. Like, here's a new part of the franchise.
Yeah.
You know, and
the truth is more, I think I go the other route. I probably pick it apart. I'm the old crotchety guy. Like, it's not what it used to be, you know, even though I liked Afterlife, I just, this new one, while I'm excited to see it, and there's clearly a lot of nostalgia in it from the trailer. Sean and I were talking about this, 'cause you know, we are very close to the franchise.
Absolutely.
And Ghost Corps. I want to see it before I pass judgment, but from what I've seen so far, it doesn't feel like it has the heart that he and I were hoping for.
I gotcha. I'll tell you.
Also, he and I spent so much time in that original real firehouse, and then, you know, they had to recreate it on a stage in London. And I don't know if you know this or not. I mean, your podcast does go deep. Here I go deep on Ghostbusters. Yeah. If you watch the first and second Ghostbusters, there are actually two firehouses. There's an exterior in New York City, which we all know is the Ghostbusters firehouse, but all of the interiors, all, were shot at an old fire station here in Los Angeles. That's almost exactly the same years old. It's almost the same kind of layout, but it is different and it is way bigger. The LA one is way bigger than the New York one. Yes. So now you have the predicament of trying to fit a huge interior into a small exterior, and concessions need to be made to do that on a set instead of doing it in two different places. So the firehouse isn't how it used to be. You know what I mean? They're not in the firehouse in my mind. The moment they show the firehouse, I go, well, we're not in the firehouse.
Yeah.
So I'm having a hard time with those things, even though they did such a good job that it takes me out of it. It's almost like, ah, why do we have to see it? Even in Afterlife, with at the very end, after the credits, they pulled the Ecto in the firehouse. That's the real firehouse. That's the real LA firehouse. Even though it was in disrepair, they only show a couple feet of it because the rest behind was all under construction.
Yep.
It's the real one. So my my brain, my little things don't go up. This is a unique problem to me. This is not a problem the American viewing public has. So you know what I mean? Like, I don't know.
It's one of the reasons I like your point of view so much, because you do have such a unique point of view in all of these things. And it's one of the reasons why I could, and I could listen to you endlessly, and we could talk about this stuff endlessly, because your point of view is, it's fresh and it's from a different angle that you don't normally get. And that's one of the reasons why, to me, your opinion of things is one of my favorite ones, because of exactly what you just said. By the way, to me, my one line about the new movie is, it felt like an episode of the cartoon to me. That's what it felt like.
And it feels that from the trailers as well. And I don't have an issue there, because I feel like they're setting up for a series, which is what Sean and I wrote for Dan Aykroyd 20 years ago. We called it PKE, Ghostbusters the Series. It's the perfect type of show that should be a series. So I think that they're kind of setting that up. Also, it seemed to be a cross between the real Ghostbusters series and the video game. Ghostbusters video game.
Oh, absolutely.
Both in the saturation of the lighting and things like that, and the effects, it all just kind of had that feel for me.
It was, and I haven't seen it yet. Yeah, no, it's lit like a video game. Certain scenes, as you say that, I'm like, oh, like that scene was, yeah, that's a really, really cool observation just from the trailer. Man, how you do? I want to move to close, but at the end of the day, before anything, I want to make sure that you have talked about the things that you want to talk about and get out there.
The Ryans are buying Newcomb's Ranch.
Yes.
With help, but the Ryans are buying Newcomb's Ranch.
Yes.
With that, it's going to be a public resource again. Obviously, it's a business, but we're doing it from the Blues Brothers standpoint of, we're on a mission from God, because when the moment happened, we just felt like we have to save the orphanage.
Yep.
Nicole is not doing well. That's the saddest part of all this, and really you will see her again, you know, here, but she's not doing well, and every moment and every ounce of energy is dedicated to surviving, and nothing she does is really worth the effort for her anymore, and she's in a tremendous amount of pain at all times. You know, she's taken stuff for the pain, and it you know, it maybe takes the edge off a tiny bit, but it's not providing relief for her.
Yeah.
She's not missing because she doesn't like anyone. She's not missing because we divorced. She's just surviving. And when she could be here, she will be here. Okay. And if you want to see her in the meantime, go up to Good Vibes, because that's, she still will do that forever until she can't.
Yeah.
That's her words, not mine.
I cannot wait to see you. While this is airing, I will be seeing my friends, Jay and Nicole. I can't tell you how much. Is there anything else? Any shows of any sort that we want to let the cat out of any bags of any sort? Or
No, because I think this is going to air after a lot of things have come out.
I know, but there's a...
Check out Magnus Walker's YouTube channel. Watch the OPP episode with Yellow Car, myself, Angeles Crest Highway, Good Vibes Breakfast Club, and Newcomb's Ranch. It's sort of a whole big feel-good episode. There's a new Galpin car show called My Porsche Story that will probably be out maybe around the same time.
Yep.
And stay tuned for the summer issue of Road and Track, which will have a profile on us and the Good Vibes, and thanks for supporting us. We don't understand what we're doing. We have no idea what we're doing. Every single day is fog. We can't plan anything because our life doesn't allow it. So it literally keeps us present, which is awesome, but it prevents any type of like rollout. So we're doing our best. We have no idea what we're doing. Please bear with us. And we love everybody. I love you, buddy, but your audience too. Your audience has always been great with us. I think there's a little bit of crossover with the playset audience. So thank you to everybody for sticking with us, for propping us up, for believing in us. Like, I'm going to cry, but anytime this comes up, we wouldn't be here if it wasn't for our community. I mean, Nicole and I would have fucking packed it in when life got hard a long time ago. So the fact that I'm even here able to talk to you today, I really appreciate it. Appreciate it, everybody. Sorry, getting choked up.
I
wouldn't do this.
I said I wasn't gonna cry.
I did.
No, we didn't. We didn't say we're gonna cry. I love you so much. I'm gonna hit stop now. I'll shoot a separate intro and outro. I'm gonna hit stop right now, and we can say our stuff privately. I love you so much. Thank you so much.
I only talk on the air. That's it. Talk to my agent.
I love you, Jay.
Thanks for the opportunity, and thanks to everybody for listening.
Yeah, and I can't wait to have you back. Whatever that looks like the next time, I can't wait to have you back. Thank you so much for being on the show today.
And we'll do a playset while you're here. So maybe tune into Late Night Playset as well, because this will be airing at the same time. And so
check
the Late Night Playset channel as well.
I love that so much. Okay, I'm going to hit stop. Thanks, Jay. I love you, brother.
Thanks, everybody.
Woo! Okay. I'm sorry. He just left, and I'm when you haven't caught up with a friend for a while, and then when you catch up and you see some of these things, and don't get me wrong, we'll text back and forth sometimes, but we haven't had a conversation like that in a long time. And I really love Jane. I really love Nicole. Again, autoimmunityfoundation.org if you want to support her. When we go through hard times, sometimes it's neat to know that you can have the attitude that Jay has going through what he and Nicole are going through. And I just appreciate him very, very, very much for opening up the way that he has. And I appreciate his friendship. And I'm grateful that he has taken time. We recorded this on the anniversary of the Letterman podcast. And what there's, I don't know if there's a better way to spend some time reflecting with somebody who was there at the beginning, who encouraged me to no end at the beginning, and just I appreciate him very much, and I appreciate all of you. Thank you all so much for supporting this show. It means the world. And relationships, in my opinion, are the silver bullet. They're everything, and it's the relationships that have come from this project and have the ripples in the water that have continued to reveal themselves has been amazing. So that has been another episode of the Letterman Podcast with Mike Chisholm. Coincidentally, I am Mike Chisholm. Thank you and good night.
Overcoat and underpants.